We're getting a good start tonight. Glad to see you all out. Spent 25 years on the west coast of Florida and up and down from Clearwater to Everglades City, quaint little town, and in between. Went through Charlie. Forget the year when that was. Charlie came up Port Charlotte, right at the center of the state, north. And the day that happened, had the TV on and computer, and it was 30 miles east of us, and we didn't hear a thing. Went outside, few clouds going around, not much winds, little breeze here and there, 30 miles away, but the destruction was evil, and we delivered food. We kept one family to, they had no place to go. Their house was, they had to get out of where they were, and it was Port Charlotte area, I think. And after the first day, they said, and everything had died down, they said, could you take us back to see where our house? And sure, went down there, and a few walls were standing, and the rest of it is gone. House right next to it, a beautiful house, three-story house, untouched. It had been built under the guidelines, the new guidelines that came out for construction. And but those that were created, built, a lot of them in the 70s. No way, Jose. Okay, we need to get right into our lesson tonight. We've got three scriptures. First one here is Jeremiah 49:22. Behold, one shall mount up and fly swiftly like an eagle and spread his wings against Bozrah, and the heart of the warriors of Edom shall be in that day like the heart of a woman in her birth pains. Again, our attention is drawn to the nation of Edom. The name Bozrah, in Hebrew, means sheepfold or sheep enclosure. I had this map up last time, talking about Edom. And for some reason, again, that picture, an inset, was of the rocky part of the country with very terrain, mountainous terrain, and it's where they built their fortresses. But Bozrah, yeah, should have been about right there. They don't know exactly. But Bozrah means sheepfold or sheep enclosure, and perhaps might have been a pastoral city. Quite simply, the armies will come charging in from the north swiftly as compared to an eagle pursuing its prey from the sky. The prey should be surprised and terrified and unlikely to escape. So strong and quick will be the enemy's attacks, the soldiers of Edom will cringe and cry out equivalent to a woman in childbirth. I defer to an earlier passage in Jeremiah, who gives us a little better meaning of the phrase. Jeremiah 4:31. For I heard a cry as a woman in labor, anguish as one giving birth to her first child, the cry of the daughter of Zion, grasping for breath, stretching her hands out, woe is me, I'm fainting before murderers. So, men don't know how it is with childbirth, but certainly, it's harder for some women than more so than others, but it's painful. And Obviously, this is to be a horrific, terrifying experience for Bozrah. And war can be made more terrifying if it seems there's no avenue of escape. And the Assyrians did not let these people escape. I have nothing else on this particular scripture unless you think of something in particular. If not, we'll go to our summary. Here the eagle's hunt for an attack on its prey is mimicked by Nebuchadnezzar's pouncing army. It will be swift, terrorizing, and deadly. The lesson here is that God of heaven and earth will not tolerate idol worship. His judgment is quite evident for Edom. Okay, let's jump to Scripture 17. And this will be in the book of Lamentations, which we don't deal much with. I don't ever remember dealing much with Lamentations. It's a sad commentary on what was happening to Israel and Jerusalem in particular. In 4:18 and 19 it says, "They dogged our steps so that we could not walk in our streets. Our end drew near. Our days were numbered, for our end had come. Our pursuers were swifter than eagles in the heavens. They chased us on the mountains. They lay in wait for us in the wilderness." Quite, again, terrifying situation for the people there. This passage is similar to the last one we just finished, comparing the eagle going after the prey. Essentially, Lamentations is a collection of laments or melancholy dirges for a ruined society and describes in vivid detail, sometimes sickening detail, the results of Babylon's destruction of Jerusalem in the year 587 BC. The book has a flavor of a personal experience and eyewitness testimony. Some think that Jeremiah may have written this as he was firsthand when this happened. But the writer could not keep his mind off the horrors of the siege, the cries of starving children, and of women who were boiling their babies for food. Quite similar to when the Romans came to Jerusalem in 70 AD, BC, I'm sorry, AD, and these same things took place there at that time, as we know. In the Hebrew Bible, Lamentations is called Ekah, spelled E-K-A-H. The word translates into the English the word howl. And this word occurs in chapter 1, verse 1, chapter 1, verse 1, and chapter 2, verse 1, and chapter 4, verse 1, to emphasize how much Jerusalem has suffered. In the 18th verse, Babylon's armies tracked the people's every move to get free. They could not walk in the streets. No place felt safe, for the walls could be breached at any time. Their end had come. The day of the Lord had broken upon them at last. Once more, the day of the Lord means judgment. In the verse 19, once the city was breached, Jerusalem's citizens fled, yet only into Babylon's clutches. Babylon was relentless, just as an eagle swoops down to clutch its prey with its sharp talons and strong muscles to carry off to feast upon it or share it with its young at the nest. Any thoughts? Before we leave Lamentations, we would be remiss if we did not mention one bright element of hope that was written in chapter 3 and 22. 22 to 26, actually. In fact, worship songs are recognized from this passage. I'm going to read from the English Standard Version. The King James and the New King James doesn't read quite the same, but you'll recognize the words. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. And I think that plays right into what we've discussed here in several classes, where we know the patience of the Lord towards us, and we must wait and be patient on him. Summary for Lamentations 4:18-19. Here again is told of the Assyrians mimicking the hungry eagle as it relentlessly pursues its prey. Lesson, quite simply, Jerusalem could not run or hide from their attackers. They knew their time was up.
I was just going to add, when you're looking at most of the prophets' writings, God, he will wait right up to the very end of their destruction and still offer them, if they offer to relent, if they repent.
Right.
And sometimes, I know you've probably known people that were quite elderly and before they repented and were baptized. And so I don't think we should look at those situations any different than we do when someone else repents.
I agree. Next we come to the book of Ezekiel, where we'll again find four verses with an eagle. Let's identify Ezekiel. For perspective, we know Jeremiah was a prophet who became a priest and resided in Jerusalem, whereas Ezekiel was a priest who became a prophet when God came and called him. And we'll see that happening tonight. Ezekiel was exiled to Babylon in 597 B.C., along with King Jehoiachin. And we will want to remember that, and we'll pick that up at a later time. His ministry extended over at least 23 years and kept over 23 years. In captivity, he must have lost all hope of ever becoming an active priest. As a young man, now no longer in Jerusalem, the priestly life must have lost all meaning for him. I want us to look at this map. I felt it was important to take a look at Babylon's location specifically, as we as talked about in the book of Ezekiel. Here is a Google Earth Pro view of modern-day Iraq, showing the location of the ruined Hanging Gardens of Babylon. And we can see perhaps the walls around the city that Nebuchadnezzar had built. Point of reference, Baghdad, which we're familiar with, is about 50 miles to the north and east of Babylon. Who tried to restore and rebuild Babylon?
Stalinism.
Who? Saddam Hussein, exactly. Was he successful? No, he was not successful. His ego had them building bricks with his name on it. And he likened himself to Nebuchadnezzar. It's interesting how God took them both out. Why could he not rebuild? Okay. God said it will never be rebuilt, nor inhabited ever again. We have proof of that. In Isaiah the 13th chapter, verses 19 to 22, and in Jeremiah 50, 39 and 40, it indicates that in Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldean pride will be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. It will never be inhabited, nor will it be settled from generation to generation. Her time is near to come, and her days will not be prolonged. And that's still true today, and Sodom was not allowed to rebuild. We notice the Chebar Canal, which is that long green stretch coming down from the Euphrates in the north and then flowing back into the Euphrates further south. The Chebar is where we will find Ezekiel first. Our verse is Ezekiel 1 and 10. As for the likeness of their faces, each had a human face. The four had the face of a lion on the right side, and four had the face of an ox on the left side, and four had the face of an eagle. A very unusual creature being described here. What I like to do is read parts of the first chapter. I'm going to have Chris read a little bit there after I read. I'm going to read verses 1 to 3. In the 13th year, in the fourth month, on the fifth day of the month, as I was among the exiles by the Chebar Canal, the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. On the fifth day of the month, it was the fifth year of the exile of King Jehoiachin, and that would have been year 592 B.C. At that time, the word of the Lord came to Ezekiel, the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans, by the Chebar Canal, and the hand of the Lord was upon him there. Go ahead, Chris.
Picking up in verse 4, I'm reading from the New King James Version. Then I looked, and behold, a whirlwind was coming out of the north, a great cloud with raging fire engulfing itself, and brightness was all around it, and radiating out of its midst like the color of amber out of the midst of the fire. Also from within it came the likeness of four living creatures, and this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. Each one had four faces, and each one had four wings. Their legs were straight, and the soles of their feet were like the soles of calves' feet. They sparkled like the color of burnished bronze. The hands of a man were under their wings on their four sides, and each of the four had faces and wings. Their wings touched one another. The creatures did not turn when they went, but each one went straight forward. And as for the likenesses of their faces, each had the face of a man. Each of the four had the face of a lion on the right side. Each of the four had the face of an ox on the left side. And each of the four had the face of an eagle. Thus were their faces. Their wings stretched upwards. Two wings of each one touched one another, and two covered their bodies. And each one went straight forward. They went wherever the Spirit wanted to go, and they did not turn when they went. As for the likeness of the living creatures, Their appearance was like living, was like burning coals of fire, like the appearance of torches going back and forth among the living creatures. The fire was bright, and out of the fire went lightning. And the living creatures ran back and forth in appearance like a flash of lightning.
Wow. That's an amazing description there. And I don't know how we can see really what this was. This gives us some background to see where our verse is coming from. The opening sequence of Ezekiel is the most elaborate and complex of the prophetic call narratives in the Old Testament, and also one of the most carefully structured. In this vision, Ezekiel witnesses the awesome approach of the glory of God. The whole vision was set within a vast storm cloud with whirling flashes of fire, signifying God's glory, God's power, His omniscience, His omnipresence, omnipotence, sovereignty, majesty, and holiness. What else would you want in a God? He has it all. Now Ezekiel sees the throne of the Lord as it approaches. The richness in detail of in Ezekiel's account of this vision is both inspiring and perplexing. First, a whirlwind or stormy wind heralds the approach of the Lord. Similar whirlwinds are found in other places coming to men, like Elisha, Job, or Isaiah. However, all of God's magnificence was not known at that time, as completely as it is here. Coming out of the north, this is associated with the divine abode as told in both Psalms and Jeremiah, meaning from Mount Zion, where God's judgment originates. So visualize this whirlwind on fire, with brightness surrounding it, arriving near Ezekiel, only to see four living creatures come out from the cloud. The description then follows of these likenesses. If you have your Bibles open, and you can see the words, but I thought it would be well to go through to simplify this message, which is quite visual, and one that is most certainly hard for us to see with our minds, as there's quite an assortment of ideas to consider here. There are artist renderings that can best only be their interpretation. I have one that we will look at later. I even found that online there is an Ezekiel movie that's been made with live actors. A character, one of them plays Ezekiel. But because of modern digital graphics, they can then incorporate that in the movie that they could see these creatures, and I did not watch that. I think these kinds of things we can take with grains of salt. To assist in what we are being told, I created this chart, and I'd like to do this with us. What I want to do is go through these verses, starting with verse 5. From the midst of it came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had a human likeness. But each had four faces. So we see these, can visualize these things coming towards him. And each had four wings. So we would have 16 faces with the four creatures and 16 wings. Correct me if I'm wrong. I'll need your help on any of these. Be free to speak up. Their legs were straight, and the soles of their feet were like the soles of a calf's foot. So they were cloven. I think we can assume they had two legs per creature. So they had eight legs. Under their wings, on their four sides, they had human hands. It doesn't say arms. We don't know about arms. We can assume arms. We don't know that the hands were ever used for anything. That's all right. Thus their wings touched one another. Each one of them went straight forward. So I take that to mean that the wings went straight forward without turning as they went. So if we think about that, if they're here and they were to go over there, but they only go straight, or it says they don't turn. As for the likeness of their faces, each had a human face. The four had the face of a lion on the right side. The four had the face of an ox on the left side. And four had the face of an eagle, which would be behind, bring back. Such were their faces. And their wings were spread out above. And each creature had two wings. So we know each creature was given four wings. So each touched the wings of the other while two covered their bodies. So I think we can get the picture now. Two are overhead or out, spread out. And yet they're touching with the other wings of the other creatures. And two are covering their bodies in the front. And each went straight forward or moved. So that's why I'm saying I don't know how they moved. Always in a straight direction. Doesn't really matter. Wherever the Spirit would go, they went without turning as they went. What was the Spirit? Is that God? As for the likeness of the creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire. So we can see kind of an aura around them of these burning coals. Like the appearance of torches moving to and fro among the living creatures. So the farther we go with this, the more complicated this creature would seem to be. But it's beautiful. And the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning, and the living creatures darted to and fro like the appearance of a flash of lightning. I have never studied this before. And when I was here growing up in Gregory and so forth, I don't remember studying it. It might have, but I don't remember it. And I haven't ever studied it since. So when I came to this and looked at it, I just had to simplify this out. And it helped me to kind of get a better idea of what this creature is like. Now, there's more to this that we need to know. And we are going to study that. Our time's up, and we will pick that up next week. We'll also find in Ezekiel the second of four eagles, and it will be in conjunction with tonight's eagle. So quite an interesting study, a little different than some, but I just do this. It really helps me, and I hope it helped you as well. If you had, you may have studied it before and may have fully understood, but if you hadn't, it's good to get into it again, because it's talking about God, someone seeing God, and or as close as he allows him to see. And we'll find out more about this next time. So I appreciate your attention, and hope you all have a safe trip home, and be glad to come back and see us on Sunday again. If there's anything else, we'll have an ending prayer. Dear Lord, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wisdom you provide for us each and every day and how to live our lives, how to obey you and to do what you would like for us to do in living for you. We do pray, Lord, for those that are going to be threatened tonight. There will be lives lost, we've been told, and we may know of folks down that way. Many have left that area, so we just pray for safety for everyone and that it all clears out and goes away and people can get the help they need to restore their lives. Father, we just pray for the turmoil that's going through that and throughout our country as well and other areas. Direct us now in the paths of righteousness. We pray all this through Christ's holy name. Amen.